It is good to be back with you at the Lighthouse Church of God in LaGrange, Georgia. Amen. What'd you come looking for this morning? Well, then that's what you're going to find. If you come looking for something else, you'll find that too. Yeah, I tell folks, probably told y'all the last time I was here, that if you come to see and to be seen, then you done seen and saw, and that's probably about all you're going to get out of this service. But if you come seeking a blessing, you're going to find that somewhere. Now, it may not be in this sermon I preach. It may have been in one of the songs you've heard, or it may not have been in the song, maybe in the sermon, might have been in a prayer, might have been in somebody telling you they love you. I don't know where you'll find that blessing today, but I know you'll find it if you come looking for it. Amen. I appreciate Brother Ronnie letting me be here today to be with you this morning and tonight. Now, please don't let that keep you from coming back tonight. We'll have a good time here tonight, hopefully, in the Lord, and will this morning too. All right, if you don't mind, take your Bibles and look to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I want to read one verse, the 17th verse. And I like for people to stand when I read the text scripture. So if you would, in honor and respect to the word reading of the text scripture, if you'll please stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You can probably quote this scripture by heart. Very simply says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, before I pray, I want to say this. Sometimes it's just as important to hear what the Bible does not say as it is to hear what it does say. Now, let me read that passage of Scripture again, and let's see what it does not say. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a refurbished creature." Is that what it said? Didn't say that, did it? But what did it say? New creature. "Old things are passed away, and behold, some things are become new." Is that what it said? No, it said all things are become new. Look with me for a moment to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you, God, for the privilege to be in this place today. Now, Lord, in these next few moments as I come to break the bread of life, Lord, to do what you've called me to do in life, God, I pray for that anointing that comes only from you, Lord, to preach this blessed gospel. Lord, I pray you'd use me in this place today. Father, I pray not only for the anointing that comes to preach, but, Lord, for that anointing to listen and to hear, God, what you say to us. And then, God, anoint us to become doers of your precious word. Now, Lord, today would you search our hearts in this place. And, Lord, whatever we need, I pray, God, that you'd speak to us that way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Today, the Lord has given me a sermon that I've entitled, and you're going to love this title, "Metamorphosis from a Worm to a Saint," is what I want to preach on this morning. Now, I need to warn you right up front that today I'm going to give you a bit of a science lesson. So it may take me a few minutes to get this message set up. So don't leave me. Don't quit listening. I will hopefully tie it all together. Let me say this. There have been times that I preach sermons that I don't get it all tied together. There have been times I've left wondering, what in the world did I preach about? You never did that, did you? No, I didn't think you ever did. But today, I hope I get this all tied together on metamorphosis from a worm to a saint. Through the ages, a great debate has raged as to how it is that a man becomes a new creature, or as we would say in our church language, how he becomes born again. Even in John 3:4, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" With one of the great rabbis of Israel, Nicodemus had trouble understanding this thing of salvation. Well, just maybe you and I might have a little confusion on it too. Now, of late, the debate has raged as to whether or not a person to be saved simply has to believe to be born again, or if he must repent by saying some magical sinner's prayer or something like that. Now, today, as I stand before you, I tell you freely that I don't fully proclaim to understand the process of salvation any more than I proclaim to understand the process of metamorphosis that a butterfly goes through to become a butterfly. But one thing I do know this morning, and I want you to hear me well. When a man or a woman becomes born again, a change has to take place in their life. Amen. He emerges from that process changed. Now, let me tell you something. I don't judge a person's proclamation of faith by the road they traveled to get there, but rather I judge a person's proclamation of faith by the metamorphosis or the change that I see in their lives. Sometimes your life speaks so loudly, I can't hear a word you're telling me.
Amen.
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 Listen, and when that metamorphosis occurs, we will change from a worm to a saint. Some of you may say, Brother Aaron, I'm neither one of those. Yeah, you are. The psalmist said in Psalms 22:6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Now let me tell you something. I can identify with the psalmist's proclamation. I too was a worm. There was nothing good in me. But let me tell you something. One night over at Bethel Chapel Baptist Church on Hanley Street in LaGrange, Georgia, I can take you to the church. I can show you the place of metamorphosis occurred in my life. A change happened. Let me tell you something. I am not yet what I am going to be. But bless God, I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Thank God. I'm a new creature. Now listen. I'm not yet fully developed. I'm still on my journey just like you are. I do not consider myself to have arrived. I'm still a student of the great mystery of the ages of salvation. God's still working His plan out in me. But thank God I ain't what I used to be. Now today I want to look at this metamorphosis. Now we're going somewhere this morning, so just buckle up and go with me. We're going to look at the metamorphosis of a caterpillar and compare it to the metamorphosis that must occur in the life of every born again believer. Now, are y'all getting this morning? Let me tell you something. I don't come to you this morning as the associational missionary for the 41 Southern Baptist churches. That's my job. That's what I do. But I come to you this morning as a born-again child of God who has been called and anointed to preach this blessed gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. There's a change that has to occur in our life. It don't matter what label you've got on you. If there's not a change in your life, I wouldn't give you 2 hoots to holler for it. I wouldn't give you 2 hoots to holler for any Baptist that says, I've been saved, and you don't see a change in their life. I wouldn't give you 2 hoots to holler for any Pentecostal that says, I've been changed, but you don't see that change. Oh, bless God. When Jesus shows up, a change is going to happen. Whoo! Man. Glory. Now, I got to get down to these notes because I got to give y'all a lot of good stuff this morning. Biologically speaking, the change of a caterpillar into a butterfly is spoken of as a metamorphosis. The ugly, repulsive caterpillar is confined in a tomb which it spins for itself. It's called a cocoon. But after the warm sun of spring has beaten its golden rays upon that cocoon, there comes forth a beautiful butterfly. You see, a change occurred. Now, it is the same living creature when it comes forth as a butterfly as it was when it went in, but yet it's been changed. If you did a DNA sample on that caterpillar before he went into the cocoon and the butterfly when he came out, the DNA would be the same. But the appearance has changed. Now remember that. That's going to help you in a minute. But it's gone through a metamorphosis. Now I'm going to give you five things I want to touch on in this sermon today about this metamorphosis. I'm going to look at number one, the derivation of life. Where that life was derived from. The drawing of God. The death of the worm. The deliverance of the butterfly. And the duplication of the butterfly. Now let's look, number one, at the derivation of life. Let me tell you something. I told you I'm going to give you a science lesson this morning in this sermon. When the mama butterfly lays her egg, it is a very insignificant event that occurs. Because you see, that little egg is so small and so tiny that it could fit on the head of a straight pin. Now that's small and insignificant. Oh, but let me tell you something now. You might ought to hold on to the person beside you because they might want to get up and shout right here. But I'm going to give you something good. Did you know that inside that little egg is the full DNA code for a fully developed adult butterfly? It's in there from the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. The beginning was insignificant, but I'm here to tell you something. It doesn't matter how insignificant the start is, because how you start is not what's important. It's how you finish. It's what's in you getting out of you. Yes, oh, hallelujah. Because you see, I can read my Bible and I can find where Jesus Christ of Nazareth had a very insignificant beginning. He was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Help me, somebody. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. But the angels said to the shepherds, you better get up and go look and see. Because something significant has happened. Because born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord. Let me tell you something. The beginning was insignificant, but in Him was the whole DNA of the Godhead bodily. Whoa, amen. In Him dwelt the Godhead bodily, and He took on the form, thought it not robbery to take on the form of God, because the DNA was in Him. Whoa. See, how He started wasn't how He was going to finish. Oh, and it ain't over yet. He wound up this life on a cross, beaten, spat upon, mocked, and ridiculed. But let me tell you something. He's coming back again. And He ain't coming back as no baby pastor. He's not coming to be beat, spit upon, mocked, or ridiculed. But He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's His DNA. Whew, Lord have mercy. Y'all getting this morning, aren't you? Amen. You see, you and I had an insignificant beginning. Wasn't no trumpets blown when you and I were born. The world didn't snap to attention on your birthday. Still doesn't. And the older you get, the more you try to hide them birthdays. Amen. But you see, we had an insignificant beginning. But it's not how we began. It's how we finish. Thank God somewhere in my way, in this life, I encountered Jesus. And I went through a metamorphosis. Oh, let me tell you something. But not only do I want you to see the insignificant beginning, I want you to see the irresistible hunger. That little caterpillar, he eats everything in sight. He's an eating machine. You know what? Now science will tell us that little worm will eat enough during its life cycle to fully sustain the adult butterfly without the adult butterfly ever eating again. There's an irresistible hunger. It has a voracious appetite. But you know what? It'll even eat its way out of the pupa that the egg was in. But I'm going to tell you something else now. There's not only that, but there's an incomprehensible growth. It only takes a few weeks for the egg that would fit on the head of a pin to grow into a full-grown caterpillar. But you see, that's just the beginning of life. But now let me take you to the second point. We've talked about the derivation of life. But let's look at the drawing of God. Oh, I know where this is going. I got to take a breath in. This fat preacher might get out of breath in. As the caterpillar matures, something strange begins to happen. You know what it is? Somewhere deep within inside it, it begins to feel an attraction, a drawing toward a tree. And something inside that caterpillar says, go to that tree. Climb up it. Go out that limb. Go so far and stop and spin your cocoon. Oh, y'all ain't getting this morning, are you? Because you see, on my life journey one day, I began to feel a strange drawing toward a tree. Amen. It was a tree that had been fashioned into a cross of Calvary. Oh, let me tell you something. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me do what? Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. A metamorphosis will occur. Let me tell you something. I was on my way of life. I was on my path doing my own thing. Hell bound with the pedal to the metal. Oh, but one day I had an encounter with a living God, and I began to feel a drawing toward an old rugged cross. And let me tell you something, a metamorphosis occurred. And I'm telling you, that night the old Aaron died and a new one was born. Behold, all things are become new. I'm metamorphed. And I'm going to tell you what, some of y'all had that metamorphosis, haven't you? Some of you metamorphosed is a little fatter than you did before. Hello? Some of you metamorphosed is a little more. I can't even. I hate preachers that's got hair. Amen. Somebody got a little more hair, a little less hair. But you know what? Changes take place. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Let me tell you, when you begin to be drawn to that tree, there's a conviction that takes place. You know what? The old caterpillar realizes the old lifestyle cannot continue. But also there's consecration. He's drawn to a specific tree. Not just any tree. Oh, y'all getting that? But a specific tree. The one the Creator said, you go to this one. There's been many imitations. The cross of Calvary has been often duplicated, but never replicated. Because it's the real deal. And then there was constraint. When he wraps up in that cocoon, the cocoon holds the caterpillar in place. He can't get away from it. Oh, y'all getting this? When the change occurs in your life for Jesus, the Holy Spirit will arrest your soul. And when he arrests your soul, you might as well give it up. Because he's not going to give up until you turn it over. You're arrested by him. But I want you to see something else now. Not only do I want to see the derivation of life and the drawing of God, but I want you to see the death of the worm. When death happens, a cessation of activities occur. Let me let that sink in a minute. A cessation of activities occur. Pastor, you know one of the greatest things that needs to happen in our churches today? We need a cessation of activities. Because folks are so busy. They're so wrapped up. They're so involved that we miss the main thing. Somebody help me a little bit. We get so busy. You know what? Better is the enemy. Good is the enemy of better. Better is the enemy of best. And the devil knows he doesn't want you giving your best to God. So he'll ask you to give something good to God, not something better. And then he'll say, well, give him better, but don't give him best. The devil doesn't want you giving your best to God. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get in that change, you have to give up some things. Nothing else matters but being changed. Then there comes a calm. And then there's a change. Let me tell you something what I'm talking about tonight, or today. There was a sign in a butcher's shop that stated that he was no longer open for business. Now listen to this. The sign read, closed for alterations. The owner had suspended his business relations with the public long enough to renovate the store. After about 2 months, the store was reopened. But when the customers came in, they saw significant change had taken place. What a picture of salvation. What a picture of metamorphosis. That, let me tell you something. I was on my way to hell. But one day God arrested my soul and he hung a sign up on the heart of my life, the door of my life. Are y'all with this? It says closed for alterations. I was no longer engaged. And with, you know what? When I was in that altar that night, it didn't matter to me who the president was. It didn't matter what my bank account was. It didn't matter what my family was doing, what my church was doing. There was one thing that was mattering to me that night, that some alterations take place in my life. And there was a sign that said, closed for business, no more. Oh, but bless God, when he got through with the process, there was an open for business sign. Woo! But you know what, brother? The folks that began to see me said, you know what? It may my kind of, it, you know, he says he's Aaron, but it don't look like the old Aaron looked. You know what? He says he's Aaron, but he don't walk like the old Aaron walked. He don't talk like the old Aaron. A metamorphosis had occurred.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Wow, wow. Man. That make a dead Pentecostal want to get up and shout, bloody. Woo! Glory! Let me tell you something. Science teaches us that every 7 years, don't miss this, every 7 years, on average, every cell in your body dies and is rejuvenated. Now that's a scientific fact. If you're past 7 years old, you ain't the same person you used to be 7 years ago. You've been regenerated. Now, that's what I was talking about a while ago. Some of us get regenerated bigger, littler, more hair, less hair, smarter, dumber, whatever. But we're not physically the same person we was 7 years ago. But let me tell you something. When that metamorphosis occurs, there's an identity that is given to you that it doesn't, Lord, preacher, it doesn't matter if this body gets fat or if it gets skinny, if it gets hairy or if it gets less hairy, amen. It doesn't matter if your wife loves you or if your wife hates you or if your husband loves you or he hates you. It doesn't matter if your children act like little monsters from the Black Lagoon. There's an identity that's been given you that will be yours through the ages. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Let me tell you something. I already got that identity. I don't know about y'all, but I already got me a home in heaven. It's got an address over there. I got a mailbox set up. Woo! Hey, amen. Because it don't matter what this body does. It may do a lot of things before I die. It may get cancer before I die. It's already got diabetes. See, a lot of y'all knew I was too sweet anyway, didn't you? That's the reason y'all said the Baptist got me, because I'm too sweet to be a Church of God member. You know, every night this body makes me take a little syringe, fill it full of that little joy juice, and pop it in. That's just part of what has to happen with this body. Would y'all believe? I know this is going to shock you. Do you believe that I used to be this tall and only weighed 150 pounds? I did. I had a boss one time told me I was so skinny that if I'd just stand sideways and stick my tongue out, that everybody would swear I was a zipper. Amen. I used to have bushy hair and bunches of it. I mean, I had a full-blown big head of hair. Oh, but time has made a change in me. I mean, this body has morphed. But I'm going to tell you something. There was an identity given me that night that will never change. You see, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I became God's boy. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I may not get back to that outline, preacher, but it reminds me of a story I heard. There was this little boy who loved to come to church, but he didn't have a daddy. And this was back in the 1920s and 30s when it was a shame not to have a daddy. And every time he'd come to church, when they'd go to have the closing prayer, he'd run out because he didn't want anybody to recognize him. He didn't want any glory or any recognition to be brought to him because he was ashamed because he didn't have a daddy. But one day the preacher changed up the service and dismissed real quick. And the boy didn't have time to get out. And the preacher was at the back door. And the little boy couldn't get by without going to see the preacher, and he didn't want to. And sure enough, his worst fears were confirmed. When he went by, the preacher grabbed him by the hand and said, "Son," said, "let me ask you a question." He said, "Whose boy are you? Who's your daddy?" And everything in the little boy just melted. And the preacher, though, under the Holy Spirit, could see what was going on. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with the old preacher. And the preacher says, wait a minute. He said, "Don't tell me." He said, "I know who your daddy is. I can tell by looking at you. You're God's boy, aren't you? You're God's boy. You're one of His children." And the little fella busted his buttons, walked out, and said, "Yes, I'm one of God's boys." Let me tell you something. I said that to say this. That night, when the metamorphosis occurred in my life, I became God's boy. Woo! Hallelujah. And it don't matter what this world identifies me as. Ronnie was putting all kind of letters behind my name earlier. Ain't got no letters behind my name. I'm just God's boy. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. That's pretty good preaching for a fat white preacher, ain't it? Amen. A Baptist one. Amen. But let me tell you something. We've looked at the derivation of life, the drawing of God, the death of the worm. And let me tell you something, just to put it in context. I was saved that night. I'm being saved today. And when He comes and gets me, I will be saved. Woo! Hallelujah. But listen, I want to look at the deliverance of the butterfly. When deliverance or the new birth occurs, some things change. Because you see, the old caterpillar, or the butterfly, rather, he doesn't look like the old caterpillar. The DNA is the same, but the appearance has changed. What happened? When he got in that cocoon, his DNA kicked in, and he changed. Now, don't y'all miss that. You say, "What are you talking about, Brother Aaron?" When I got saved, my DNA kicked in. And I changed. What are you talking about, Brother Aaron? Oh, I believe God has put in us the DNA for every one of us to be a child of His and to be saved. Say, how you get that, Brother Aaron? Doesn't the Bible say something like this? That it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Isn't that kind of something like that? God has put in all of us. He wants all of us to be saved. There's come a time we let the DNA kick in. You know, the old prodigal son, Bible said he came to himself. You know what happened? DNA kicked in. He said, "What am I doing here? I ain't a pig. I ain't got that DNA in me. I'm my daddy's boy." And he got up and went home. But a change occurs. He was dead in that cocoon. But when God began to deal with him, oh Lord. Now let me tell you something. Here's another scientific fact. When the metamorphosis occurs and the old caterpillar comes out of that cocoon, you know what he does? He backs out. You know, now why is that significant, Brother Aaron? Oh, because it is. Because he had, you see, we can apply that to what happens to us. when the metamorphosis occurs, you got to start backing out of some things. Help me a little bit. You got to back out of some old lifestyles. Amen, right there. You got to back out of some old sins. You see, the old, the butterfly abandons that old cocoon. And it backs out of it. But it ain't finished yet. Now I'm about to shout and get raptured, and I don't know what's going to happen here. Oh, listen. But it ain't finished yet. When the old butterfly is born, he ain't complete yet. Now y'all ain't getting that, are you? Just cause you're saved don't mean you're complete yet. There's some other things still got to happen. But when that old butterfly backs out of the cocoon, he has to sit there for a few minutes. You know why? Cause his wings are still wet and they're useless. He can't fly. But you know what science teaches us? That the little butterfly start breathing in. And you start breathing in deep and fast. Of course, the more you breathe in, you know what happens when you start breathing fast? Sure you do. Your heart starts to pump faster. The blood begins to rush. And you know what happens? That old butterfly, the faster he breathes, the more his heart beats. And all of a sudden, the blood begins to permeate out into those useless wings. And as the blood circulates in the wing, they begin to unfold. And he begins to fly. And he begins to fly. Because you see, it's in the blood. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is that flow? That makes me white as snow. No other foul I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Woo! The blood has got to be applied for us to develop and to become all that God wants us to be.
Amen.
My marriage ain't working right, preacher. Get the blood applied to it. I got a health problem, preacher. Oh, get the blood applied to it. Because it's the blood. My preacher ain't doing right. Get him under the blood. He'll do right. Amen. And I am just 100% convinced that when Ronnie Fuller finally gets saved, y'all gonna have the best pastor in LaGrange. Can I get a witness to that? Your wife's even witnessing to that. Woo! Amen. I'm kidding, of course. Oh, Lord. But you see, now I'm heading this thing to the barn. But there's coming another metamorphosis. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall all be changed." Oh, ain't gonna come a metamorphosis. You know what? I've often said this, and I hope God will let this happen. He probably won't. But I hope he will. I want to be alive when the rapture comes and believe I will be. Unless something unforeseen happens. I believe the rapture will occur of the church in my lifetime. Do you know what I want to be doing? I want to be riding down New Franklin Road. And I want to be right about the Dairy Queen. Where that great big cemetery, one of the biggest cemeteries I've ever seen, is out there. And I want to see it. And just that moment when the Lord says, "Church, come home." And the graves open up and they come out. And I want to see that metamorphosis. You know what? Because I know in just a moment I can tell Mama, "Wait on me, Mama. I'm right behind you. I'm a coming. Because seeing we that are children are left and remain shall be caught up with them together in the air. And we're going to be changed. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." You know what I hope God will let me do for just one split second? I hope while I'm flying through the air out there at that graveyard, I hope for just a second, for just a split second, he'll allow me to remember everything the devil did to me. Every heartache and every trouble. And I hope for just a second, while I'm flying through the air, he'll let me do this. To have a full memory of that and to look back at this old world while I'm getting out of here. And to go, answer, wasn't it? But it's just the way I feel. Because I'm going to be changed. Oh, the Bible said it does not yet appear what we shall be. Metamorphosis ain't complete yet. But we know that when he shall appear, what? We shall be like him. We're going to be changed. Man. Whew. It's just about as good as I wanted it to be. Amen. We talked about the derivation of life, the drawing of God, the death of the worm, the deliverance of the butterfly. But there's one more thing I got to talk to you about this morning. And that's the duplication of the butterfly. Now listen again as I give you a scientific lesson. Science teaches us that some species of butterflies, their total adult lifespan consists of 2 weeks. 2 weeks. They have 2 weeks to go through the courting process, get married, and reproduce themselves. 2 weeks. You know what the only thing that consumes their thoughts are? I got to reproduce myself. That's all they're worried about, is reproducing themselves. You say, well, Brother Aaron, now how in the world are you going to... Now how many of you have wondered so far, how are you going to make some of them points be spiritual? Now I know you're wondering, how are you going to make that spiritual? Oh, it's real simple. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. Church, listen to me. It's not good enough to understand where our life comes from, the derivation. It's not good enough to experience the drawing of the Lord. It's not good enough to understand the death, burial, and resurrection process. It's not good enough just to be delivered. Are you listening? We've got to duplicate ourselves in the lives of sinners. That's the purpose of the church. Now let me tell you something. Brother Ronnie was talking about his fish a while ago in his office. I think too many of us, when it comes to fish, too many churches are guilty of just swapping fish from one aquarium to the other. You get a Baptist brother or sister that comes into the Church of God, you'll put him in the Church of God tank, and you'll say, bless God, that's a Church of God fish now. Amen? Well, la-di-da-di-da-di-da. What have you gained? If you got some of them that I know about, you didn't gain anything. Amen. Amen. Sometimes these Baptist churches will get some Church of God fish, and they'll put a Baptist label on and say, oh, bless God, they got it now. They Baptist fish now. But there's only one thing wrong with that. I don't find it in my Bible where Jesus said, go make Baptist fish, Church of God fish, Church of Christ fish, Catholic. He just said, go out and catch fish. He told us to go out and make disciples, to duplicate ourselves. We don't need to be swapping fish from tank to tank. There's enough sinners out there. If the church would get busy about going out and compelling them to come in, we could fill every church in Troon County. We need to duplicate ourselves in those lost sinners. Amen. We must duplicate in them the Word of God. We must duplicate in them our values and our morals. But wait a minute. Maybe that's what's wrong today. Maybe we have duplicated in them our values and our morals. Maybe we need to duplicate in them God's values and God's morals. Revival can only come in the church when we start duplicating ourselves in the lives of others. Now tonight, or today rather, if you want to change from a worm to a saint, You say, I ain't no saint, preacher. If you're saved, you are. That's what Paul referred to us as. The saints. Saints in the churches.
Amen.
Ain't no worm anymore. I'm a saint.
Amen.
You got to realize, it begins with the derivation of life. Let me tell you something. There are no insignificant people, no insignificant churches, no insignificant pulpits in God's work. We all got to start somewhere. And we got to be drawn to Calvary. And we got to die to ourselves. We got to back out of some lifestyles. And then we got to start reproducing ourselves in others. Boy, that was a good sermon right up until the last part, wasn't it? Because it got real personal right then, didn't it? When's the last time you shared your faith with somebody? Oh, that's the preacher's job. Well, sure it is. It's your job too. You know what you can get to people that Brother Ronnie and myself, we never will get to. You see them on your job. You see them in your everyday walk of life. They're in your family. You've got to open door to them. We don't. Have you shared Jesus with them? Well, I prayed for them, preacher. That's good. Sometimes you need to quit praying and start doing. Have you told them about Jesus? When's the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Oh, preacher, no, we don't come to church to do that. We come to shout and feel good. Oh, that's the problem. It's the problem. We're just looking for a shout. And we're looking for a feel good. Instead of looking to see people's lives changed. See, there's a DNA code in everybody to come to Jesus. Something's got to activate it. Just maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. I have enjoyed being with you this morning. We've had a good time, haven't we?
Amen.
But now comes the time you got to deal with this. You see, I walk out of here scot-free. Because I've come in, I've preached what God wanted me to do, the way He wanted me to, and I'm through with it. But you aren't. Now you got to deal with it. Of course I do too.
Amen.
But I'm talking about you as a church. What will you do with what you've heard this morning? Will you remain that worm? Or will you metamorphosis into the caterpillar, into the butterfly that God wanted you to be? You know what? I'm about 2 minutes from being closed. I can look at some of you where you see a worm, I see a singer. Amen. You just ain't went through your metamorphosis yet. Where some of you see a worm, I see a teacher. You just ain't went through your metamorphosis yet. Some of you see a worm, I see a good husband or a good wife or a good mom and daddy or a good child. You just ain't went through your metamorphosis yet. I look at you and you see a worm, I see a preacher. Amen. You just haven't went through the morning metamorphosis yet. It's in you. It's in you. Years ago, when I was 6'5", 150 pounds, shy as a day. Y'all wouldn't believe that about me, would you? I was as shy I could be. You might as well put a gun to my head and pull the trigger to get me to stand up and do what I'm doing today. Nah. But a metamorphosis occurred. And now you can't shut me up. Amen. When I was pastoring that at Roper Heights Baptist Church, one of my sarcastic good female church members made me a little button. It said, y'all remember that commercial said, help, I'm falling and I can't get up? She made me one, the big button that said, help, I'm preaching and I can't shut up. Amen. A metamorphosis had occurred. Now, how many of you need the metamorphosis to occur in your life today? You need to change and become a child of God. Or you need to be a quit being that shy, timid child of God and let the butterfly come out in you.
Amen.
You need to get the blood in your wings and flap them and fly. Amen. Some butterflies may be just sitting on the wing, on the branch, with the wings not working, looking at the others fly. Saying, I wish I could do that. You can. Get the blood in it. Get the blood in it. Bow your heads, please. They come with a song. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've given today. And I pray now, Lord, you'd bless in this altar call time. In your name I pray. Amen. Heads are still bowed, eyes are closed. And she just begins to play something. Now, I'm not going to come to you and I'm not going to embarrass you. You got my word on that, I will not embarrass you. But I wonder how many in this building would say, Brother Aaron, ooh, the Lord used you this morning. He spoke to my heart. Brother Aaron, there's some things in my life that need to change. I need to go through that metamorphosis. Some things I need to back out of. Some things I need to quit doing. Some things I need to become. And preacher, I don't know whether I'll come to an altar or not or whatever, but just right where I'm sitting, I do care enough to say, Brother Aaron, when you pray, and I'm going to pray in just a moment, pray for me. Pray for me. Would there be anybody in the building? Just lift your hand up. God bless you. 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 Would there be others? So there's some things in my life that need to change. Some things. Maybe you need to be a better husband, a better wife, better mama, better daddy, better child, better church member, better Christian. Maybe you need to be a better employee. I don't know. There's some things that need to change. Anybody else, right before we pray, Brother Aaron, remember me when you pray. Would there be those under the sound of my voice that say, Brother Aaron, can't look at you and tell you if I died right now, I know I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved. I need for that metamorphosis to occur in my life. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up right now? Amen. 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 Father, I sense your spirit in this place today. You're at work in the hearts and lives of these people. You're at work in my life, Lord, and I thank you for that. Now, Lord, today, God, as we come to this altar call time, I pray, Father, right now that you would station your angels around this place, that the wicked one could not hinder. And sweet Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. You are welcome. Flow breast to breast. Touch hearts, change lives. Help us to be receptive and obedient to what you want to do in this place today, Lord. God, have your way. Oh, Lord, I feel you so present in this place. Lord, it's almost as if I could reach out and touch you. You are here. You are here. Help us not to miss the moment today, God. In your name I pray. Amen. While we stand, there ought to be folks coming. Come, Brother Pastor. Brother Ronnie comes and stands beside me. You're going to stand and sing some number. I don't even know what we're going to do, but the altar is open. The altar is open. You obey God this morning. I just feel in all my heart there ought to be folks coming around this old altar. Maybe you need to come take your pastor by the hands and say, Preacher, some things need to change in my life. Obey God this morning. Obey God. Amen. Pastor.